Going to the chapel and
hear Red Shoe Radios.
Gonna get married.
Tricks of the trade.
Welcome back, one and all, to Red Shoe Radio's Tricks of the Trade, a one-stop shop for all of your questions, wedding and otherwise. I am DJ T.
And I'm DJ Eag.
And over here is DJ Swan.
That's all three Red Shoes. You've collected them all. So today we're going to talk about toast etiquette. We're going to go through all things technical. We're going to go through the structure of toasts. And we are going to go through pointers for the people, friends of yours, who may be giving toasts at your wedding or public function.
It's a great intro, DJT.
Thank you.
So I guess I'm going to kick things off with talking about just your general technical know-how about how to give a toast. One of the most basic things that people don't know is how to hold the microphone. You can't count the number of times that people are talking and they're waving it all around, back and forth in front of their face, or it's just way too close. And it sounds like this. You want it a nice 3 fingers,
now,
2 to 3
I gotta,
fingers
I
away
gotta
from your mouth.
Make here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so...
Wait a minute. The mic is too far away.
I know.
I can't...
You got to hold it closer.
You're going to have to hold it closer.
See, you see what I'm doing? I'm making a point here.
Oh.
Is that you'll hear as I hold the mic closer and closer to my mouth... where it was, you can't see this, but it was at my belt, because so often people, when they're giving speeches, they're holding a drink, making a toast, and then the drink stays up,
but the mic goes down.
Always goes down to around belt level.
Yep.
Because that's just what's comfortable. You just have to make sure, no matter what, you're holding that mic up at that 3-finger level the entire time.
Because what we're trying, you know, again, this is the technical portion of the toast, but what we're trying to avoid, and I'm sure all of you have heard it, is the feedback that happens whenever we, as the audio technicians, I guess, have to turn up the volume so much to be able to pick up someone who may be giving a toast from their waist. And the problem with that is the louder we turn it up, the greater chance that feedback could happen. Additionally, when you're giving a toast, you want to stand away from the speakers, because what feedback is the speakers essentially hearing themselves and then their brains exploding.
And it's amplified and everyone knows that sound.
Right. So if you are giving some tips to friends giving a toast, or if you're giving a toast yourself, you want to stand away from the speaker, because more often than not, the photographers are going to want you in the same shot as the bride and groom. So standing close to the bride and groom or in the middle of the dance floor so they can kind of get a picture of you with the bride and groom in the background is ideal.
And it also will keep you away from the feedback.
Which brings up another good point. In order to be able to stand by the bride and groom for these nice pictures and to avoid feedback and to have the liberty to go wherever the toaster needs to go, you just want to make sure whoever you work with has a wireless microphone.
Most companies you work with are going to have a wireless microphone, but there are some guys out there that will just bring out corded microphones, which, as DJ Swan is correctly pointing out, can be problematic.
It's an absolute must.
Yeah.
Another absolute must is, and now we're getting into the structure of... setting up the toast, so like where the toasts fall within the timeline of the day. One thing that we strongly advise the couples that we're working with against is encouraging an open mic, because with an open mic, usually it can only be bad. either you can open up the microphone to everyone, and then everyone comes up and you eat an hour of your party up from dancing or whatever, or the opposite happens. And I've actually seen this happen at a recent wedding where the groom came out and said, okay, now we're going to open up the mic for toast. And I told him that I thought this was a bad idea.
No one came out.
And
oh,
no
yeah.
one came out.
Yeah. Yeah, I've done that before where it's like, okay, the bride and groom wanted to open it up, and then it's just awkward silence before someone eventually stands up and then extemporaneously speaks, and it's never as good as preparing something beforehand.
This guy's mom had to come up and give a toast because nobody else was there. And it's not that nobody
wants to give a toast.
Yeah.
It's
not
just
like nobody
that you've
likes
already
you.
Put the elephant in the
yeah,
room.
Yeah, and it's just kind of unprepared. I don't want to say ramblings, but it's just not an eloquent toast like you'd hope.
Well, and that actually leads into something I'd like to say, DJ Swan, which is length. Eloquent and short. Everybody likes a good toast, and everybody wants to tell a really good story about the bride and groom. Let's try to keep our best toasts to under 5 minutes. What you want to make sure is that you are keeping it short and keeping it sweet. And usually about 5 minutes is a good mark for that.
Yeah,
it's the YouTube generation, you know. Mm-hmm. Back in our grandparents' day, good 20, 30-minute toast, no problem. But this day and age, 5 minutes takes a long, long time.
Yeah, I mean, you could have Gary Sinise up there giving a toast, and people would still be like, whoa, around 5 minutes. Come on, Gary.
They'd be like, who's Gary Sinise?
Yep, he's it.
Forrest Gump?
He's a famous actor.
He's all right, let's keep this thing moving. Thank you for all of you still listening. We promise there are kernels of wisdom to come. Swan has something.
You want to make sure that whoever is giving a toast knows they're giving a toast and wants to give one.
Yes,
true.
You just check in with them beforehand. Make sure that they're comfortable speaking in front of people, and
they're excited about it.
Yeah, and they're excited about it, so it gives them the time to prepare whatever it is they want to say, to convey whatever sort of meaningful message they want for you guys and your guests the day of your event.
A lot of times it's assumed that the maid of honor and best man are giving a toast, but sometimes one or the other is not really comfortable giving a toast. It's better to know that ahead of time and then have another bridesmaid or groomsman or just friend fill in than like Swan is saying, have someone who's uncomfortable with the job out there doing it.
And while you're talking about the different people that are talking, I think as equally as important as figuring out who is talking, it's the sequence about when they're talking.
Right.
It's a good idea to make sure that you're opening up with a person that's really comfortable on the microphone to set everyone's mind at ease. And then another way to think about it is to close with somebody that's really powerful. Hopefully somebody that could tell something funny and just lighten the mood a little bit, so that way you're going back into dinner with something that's upbeat.
Right, and going along with that is spacing the toasts out. If you know you have a group of people, say five, that are going to give toasts, what we recommend is maybe you single the parents out from that group and have them give a welcome toast early on, maybe before the dinner starts. Then during the dinner, you have everybody else speak. That just works so much better. Again, if you're going along with the 5 minute time limit, if you have five people speaking at once, that's close to a half an hour of you know, your guests having to sit there and listen to toasts. If you split them out, you have 2 10- or 15-minute blocks.
And yeah, then, I would say no more than 3 or 4 toasts max. Grouped together max.
Always. Because by the end, people just can't – they stop paying attention. And then you feel bad for the people that are talking towards the end because everybody's already tuned out.
So on top of the parents speaking – probably the best man and maid of honor, who knows, a brother or sister or friend or whoever else you want to speak. A lot of bride and grooms also want to say a few words themselves because it's their special day. They want to thank everyone for coming out. And
they should.
Yeah. And a good time to do that separating it from the rest of the toasts is either if you're going to do a grand entrance, some bride and grooms do it after the grand entrance.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a welcome toast.
Sometimes
right after the first dance, or if it's like before dinner. And then otherwise after the cake cut.
Yeah.
Because you have everyone's attention. It's near the end of the night. A lot of people leave after the cake cut, so it's a perfect opportunity for thanking them for coming and being like, hey, let's have a great time dancing.
The only thing you want to avoid is doing your bride and groom toast after you've been toasted by your family and friends. You kind of want your toast to stand alone, because otherwise it's like everyone is toasting you and then you're toasting you, and it for me it just is kind of weird.
No, I think you're right on the money there. And a quick little note about that cake cut moment. Sometimes people have it in the timeline, and I see this all the time. It's you have the bride and groom talking and then cutting the cake. I like to switch that 9 times out of 10, because no one has their attention before the cake is getting cut, but everyone has their attention after it. So
that's a really good point. So if you're going to do a welcome toast from the bride and groom, do it after you've actually cut the cake, because that way everyone's attention will be on you and you won't have to, you know,
spend
hush
that
the
first
room.
5 minutes.
We're now going to really quickly, because we've kept you long, get into the actual toasts and just some tips about things that we've seen that we enjoy when, you know, we're watching toast.
Definitely. I think the first and foremost thing is have fun with it. Everyone up there wants to see you succeed. They all want to see that you are having fun with the toast, that you're genuine, and that you're really up there to just celebrate that day. There's absolutely no pressure on you. All the pressure that you're putting on it is yourself. So just relax, speak from the heart, and if you want to be funny, You can be funny, but there's absolutely no pressure to do that.
Yeah, no matter what, don't worry about being funny, because hopefully your bride and groom have listened to this podcast, know the structure, and they have the funniest person going last.
Yep.
Now, if you're not going last, and they've listened to this podcast, you know, that's cool. You can be a great friend and not be funny.
Also, you guys, don't be afraid to write things down. It's really hard in the moment to remember everything you wanted to say, and you can just stumble through it. I have time after time people taking up iPads, a piece of paper, anything.
A cocktail napkin.
Yeah.
A cocktail napkin. Write it on your hand.
And don't feel like you have to apologize.
I don't see that many handwritings, though.
Oh, I've seen some guys writing on their hand. Don't feel like you have to apologize for writing it down. In fact, one of the best things, dirty little secret, all three Red Shoe DJs have been to acting school.
Yes.
And one of the things they teach you at acting school that I think translates well here is if you're nervous, just acknowledge it.
Acknowledge,
you know, rather than come up and say, I'm sorry, I had to write everything down. It's much more genuine and authentic if you just come up and say, I'm really nervous. Everyone will laugh.
It always gets a laugh.
It always gets a laugh. And then you start the toast off in the right way. So
it sets the audience at ease. They can see that you're nervous. Just admit to it and get that elephant out of the room.
All right. Well, I think that pretty much wraps it up here on Tricks of the Trade Toast Edition. We hope that you enjoyed it, and we'll be back soon with some more tips from Red Shoe Radio.
You guys, I'd like to make a toast to you. This is a heck of a podcast.
Cheers. Well, and you see what he did there? That was quick.
Yep.
It wasn't funny.
But it was meaningful.
but it was meaningful.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Mazel tov.